Morning, everyone. It's good to be here again. You know, when you, I don't know how it is for you, but we were gone for about a week, and it's just good to be home again and see all of you. The message this morning is more or less based on a song and scripture, but let's start by singing number 387. 387. Nearer, my God, to thee. Oh, nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee, even though it be a cross that raiseth me. There's a familiar story in the Bible that this song points to in the words we just sang. I'm sure you noticed that already. The story of Jacob and his dream when he was fleeing from Esau after he had done wrong through deceitfulness and so on. It talks about my rest a stone. It talks about Jacob's pillow. It talks about the steps up to heaven and the angels beckoning Jacob. Jacob saw the ladder and the angels ascending and descending on it. Bethel I'll raise. nearer, my God, to thee, and so on. We're going to read the story in Genesis 28 in a bit. You may turn there if you want already. But we will also refer to the song different times as well throughout the message this morning. I wonder how this song spoke to you this morning. The song was written in the early to mid 1800s and has touched many lives since. Many have sung and identified with this song. It touches the core of man's deepest need, a relationship with God. As Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2 says, "As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" A desire for that nearness. The words of the song have been heard on the lips of the dying. It is said to have been what was played by the band on the Titanic as it was sinking into the ocean. There's an innate desire in mankind for a relationship with God. Many will deny it and say otherwise. Every human has that sense of God somewhere deep in their soul. And to those who seek that nearness with God will have untold blessings and a meaningful life. Different instances in this past week led me to these thoughts. An old friend texted me prior to last week and said that he had a massive stroke and was in Kelowna Hospital. I told him I'd be praying. We were on a trip, so I didn't touch base with him again till this week. But when I reached out to him, it was not Norman that texted me back. Norman had passed on. Did I do enough to reach out to him? How was his relationship with God? We talked about that in the past, but it really hits home. Another acquaintance and good friend said again this week as he talked about his journey with God, "I just want a close relationship with God." And then I think about myself. How is it with me? I want a nearness to God too. And I was touched deeply by the words of the song and in studying the story of Jacob and his dream. Let's read Genesis 28. We'll read verses 10 through 22. "And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. And I will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee, until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, How dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob arose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." One of the first things that stood out to me in this passage was in verse 16, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." Does that sound at all familiar? It really doesn't matter how good or how bad life is going. We have the tendency to lose out on our relationship with God. When things are going rough, we tend to doubt God and his nearness. And then when things are going good, we tend to think we got this and we don't really need God. Living life unaware of the nearness of God. And who is it that stays by us and reminds us and brings us back to reality? It's God himself. He does this in various ways, and sometimes in very difficult ways for us as well. But God is always near. It is us that loses that focus and awareness. And the song, Nearer My God to Thee, talks about the different things that life will hold, how all of those things show and prove the nearness of God. It talks about the cross in verse 1. Even though it be a cross that raiseth me. Difficulties and hardships in life are sometimes what it takes for us to have that nearness to God. And quite frankly, I do believe that because of our carnal and sinful tendencies, that it is the difficult things in life most often that bring us to our senses. It may even be because of our poor choices and even deliberate wrong choices that God uses to, in the end, help us find a nearness that we didn't know was possible. If we think of Jacob and how his poor choices led him to this place, remember the wrong he had done in deceiving his father and stealing the birthright and blessing, we would say, why would God even have an interest in him anymore? How could Jacob be used in such a mighty way still to carry out the plan and work of God? Wasn't this the beginning of the lineage of Christ? But haven't we also done things like that, sinned and taken our own way? Or perhaps it is getting ahead of God, what God really has planned for us at the moment. Maybe we try to take things into our own hands and hurry things up a little. Well, there's never a good excuse for our wrongdoing and poor choices, but I marvel at the goodness of God and his nearness, how he keeps with us, prods us, and steadily tries to bring us back to himself. Maybe we are getting a little bit into the second verse there, but let's go back to the cross in verse 1. What does the cross entail for the Christian? The cross looks like the end, but it is the way to a nearness to God. I wonder if we view the cross in the wrong way too often. We look at the cross as what God brings into our life. He does call us to bear the cross. Luke 9, verse 23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Could it be that perhaps we avoid the cross at almost any cost? The only crosses we bear are the ones that are more or less forced upon us. We still face the choice to take up those crosses. It is the long-suffering and love of God helping us to find him. But what if we saw the crosses as an opportunity and chance rather than a requirement? I fully believe that there will be another step of nearness that is hard to explain until we do that. The cross is an opportunity to know God better and to feel his presence. Maybe one way to put it is to embrace the cross. What does that really mean? Maybe you're thinking by now that what I'm saying is that we should be looking for every way possible to find some suffering or hard things in life so that we can experience a closeness to God. I think we could also go to the extreme where the suffering would become the focal point rather than God as a focus. We know that we would not be right either. So what are some key aspects to embracing the cross? Accepting the struggles, hardships, and suffering. Embracing means accepting it and confronting it rather than denying or running away from it. We mentioned earlier how some of the hardships in life are direct results of our sinful and wrong choices. And it doesn't even have to be that. It simply may be hard things in life, unfair things, inaccurate things. But with God's help, we pick up that cross and allow him to change us from the inside out and become something beautiful and powerful. Beauty from ashes, Isaiah 61 verse 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Another aspect is follow Christ's example. Jesus himself took up the most difficult an unfair cross there could ever be. It was the most powerful and most beautiful thing that could have ever happened as well. And we are unworthy recipients of that cross. In the least, couldn't we also not take up the cross like Jesus, not only identifying with his suffering, but also participating in the hope of the cross? The cross that gives meaning and victory in life. Hebrews 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Embracing the cross calls us to self-denial and love. We all have a lot of personal interests, don't we? I know I do. Our personal interests tend to override others' interests, and even worse, God's interests. When embracing the cross, we become servants. We serve with love, justice, and mercy, even when it is difficult, when it seems to no avail. The ultimate will of God must be the focus. All of our self-interest must be put on the cross. 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. The surrender of embracing the cross brings about a new life. There is a deeper sense of purpose and rest. There is spiritual death to the old life and a resurrection to a new victorious one. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And the last aspect I have on embracing the cross is that it brings about strength and maturity. That nearness that we can have when we embrace the cross brings about a greater understanding of God and of others. There's clarity for the future, even when the future is unknown. Strength to press on because we know that God's way is the best way. 1 Corinthians 13:12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. In light of embracing the cross, what do we see in Jacob's life? Well, we do see that in the past he wasn't following God's way. He was stepping ahead of God in disobedience and dishonesty. But when he felt the gentle nudging of God here in this dream, he began to open his life back up to God. He awoke and said, surely the Lord is in this place. And he set up a place of worship and so on. The second stanza of the song, Nearer My God to Thee, takes note of this. We have the same tendency as Jacob did, like a wanderer. The choices of life and things that beset us can bring us to floundering and dark places. We hardly know who we are anymore or understand the scope of what we've done or how we have ever gotten to the place of where we are. Yet, in my dreams, I'd be nearer my God to thee. God still awakens that desire to know him better and understand him better. He will come to us in ways that we didn't expect, in dreams perhaps, assuring us of his love and nearness. If we only open our hearts to him, God shows up in unexpected ways, and it always is for the purpose of bringing us nearer to himself. It was interesting. I was already working on this sermon and thinking about this song yesterday, and someone sent a link to me of this very song. No way possible to have any idea that I would be using it for a sermon today. And it inspired me anew of the goodness and greatness of God. Nearer my God to thee. God truly works in marvelous ways, and I want to be more aware of God working. Yet in my dreams I'd be nearer my God to thee. May we, like Jacob, take what God divinely inspires and convicts and allow it to change our life. The next verse of the song speaks again of the sovereignty of God. There is a way forward, and every step brings us closer to himself, closer to the next important thing in his plan and life for us, closer to heaven's door. There let the way appear, steps up to heaven. All that thou sendest me in mercy give, angels to beckon me. In God's sovereignty and plan for our life, he is going to provide everything we need to get there, every single step. He will enable and encourage. Perhaps it will be the angels beckoning or the brothers and sisters in Christ holding us up when all seem to have broken and fallen. Everything that God allows into our life, it is the mercy of God. It is his mercy that we are even alive in the first place. It is his mercy that purposely draws us nearer to himself. Lamentations 3:22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Verse 4 of the song, just as Jacob awoke and immediately dwelt on the thoughts of God in worship, so our life needs to revolve around God in every waking moment, in every difficult season of life, in every mountaintop experience as well. We need to raise up a Bethel. Christ needs to be central, foremost in our thoughts and life. Out of my stony griefs, Bethel I'll raise. Stony griefs. I don't think I ever thought about all the different people involved and the aspects of this story. Generally, by the time we get to this part of the story, we forget about Isaac and Rebekah and even Esau. There were stony griefs for them, for all of them. Jacob here was all alone. He had made wrong choices and forced to isolate himself from all that was familiar and secure, even isolate himself from the inheritance that had become his. Esau obviously was dealing with anger and resentment towards Jacob, so much so that it wasn't safe for Jacob to show his face anymore. Isaac would have been struggling with severe betrayal, and who knows how the relationship was going between the three back home still. Remember, Rebecca was in on this betrayal and deceit too. Dark and painful times for sure. Stony griefs, no matter how a situation affects us, whether we are directly involved by choice, relation, or mere circumstance, we personally need to reach beyond those stony griefs and focus on God. We need to take the results of those difficult experiences and make them ours. Not only make them ours, but make them God's way of bringing us closer to Him. So by my woes to be nearer, my God, to Thee. 1 Peter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Matthew 11, 28-30, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The last verse of the song takes on an even more joyful note about it all. Part of it, I believe, is remembering God even in the good times. Remembering how much we need Him always and how important it is to keep that nearness every step of the way. Have you ever gazed up into the night sky and felt really close to God? Maybe you looked up and saw the beauty of the Northern Lights just this past week. But beyond the astounding beauty of the universe is the all-consuming glory of God. The sun, moon, and stars forgot. Upward I fly. We talk about longing for heaven and the joys of heaven. But what really has the deepest meaning about going to heaven? Isn't it to know that we get to be even nearer to God? We get to be in the presence of God. You know, with our life focus on the nearness of God, we get to be in the presence of God now. But earthly things begin to have so much less value to us. We forget those things and focus on God, not just when we are getting close, but even now in the middle of life and when God's nearness may seem more distant. He truly is still right here with us if we only let go of the things that beset us and reach out to Him. I'd like to look at the scripture passage again on this dream that Jacob had. This ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached heaven. The angels were ascending and descending upon this ladder. God Himself was at the top. Jacob heard the voice of God in his dream. He heard the tremendous promises of what God would do with and for his family. He heard the promise of God's nearness. He saw the promise of God's nearness, and I truly believe he felt the promise of God's nearness. He said, surely the Lord is in this place. There's another scripture that makes mention of the same connection of the angels ascending and descending. Only this time it is even more powerful and speaks of a deeper, even closer connection to God Himself. This is Jesus speaking in John 1, verse 51. And He saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Jesus is that stairway to heaven, you could say. Direct access to the Father through the Son of God. Christ sacrificed His life for us so that we could be even closer in our relationship with Him. Guilt and shame and the heavy weight of sin can be lifted, and we can approach God and speak to Him from our hearts. We have the indwelling of the Spirit and the intercessory work of Jesus on our behalf. The nearness of God, blessed peace, joy, and comfort. Romans 8, 26-28. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Jacob was at a very dark place in his life, and God reached down to him and revealed to him his promise. He assured Jacob, "I am near. I will be with you." But Jacob had to make a commitment to follow God. He started it with worship. He made a pillar or a monument as a marking point and change in his life. He vowed a vow, "If God truly does this for me and will not leave me alone, he will strengthen me and give me all I need for this road, then I will do this." Did Jacob really know what would lie ahead? No, he did not, but it looked far less scary and foreboding when he claimed the promise to nearness of God. "So that I can come again to my father's house in peace." It would be many years and many more experiences that Jacob would face as he focused on closely walking with God. But as he walked with God, God proved faithful, and 20 years later, he did return to his father in peace. Genesis 35:27. "And Jacob came unto Isaac his father, unto Mamre, unto the city of Arba, which is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac sojourned." And prior to meeting his father, we know the story of how he met Esau and his brother again, and just before that, of how he wrestled with God all night, and how God caused him to limp, and then he also changed his name. Jacob had a lifetime of learning to walk with God and surrender to God, learning what the nearness of God truly means. And that's how it is for us, continually drawing nearer to God. We see also how the nearness of God is so essential for the healing and nearness to each other. Genesis 33:3, "And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept." Quite a contrast we have for Jacob here, from fleeing for his life to reconciliation and genuine love for Esau, something that only the nearness of God can do. Almost assuredly, every one of us is facing a crossroad of sorts. We face the burden of choice. We may face loss and grief, betrayal and mistrust, rejection and abandonment, failure and regret, loneliness and emptiness, injustice, unrequited love and heartbreak, the witness of suffering, chronic pain, acute pain, illness and disability, poverty or wealth, the pain of hatred, the pain of love. Did I miss any of you? Jesus is the answer to our struggles of life. James 4:8, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." Whatever is overwhelming us, no matter how one single circumstance may affect so many in so many different ways, there's one unifying and healing factor. It is God, the nearness of God. "Nearer, my God, to thee must be our heart cry." It is not a passive pursuit of God. It is an active pursuit that will, with time, make so many things become clear. I'd like to sing this song again, perhaps with even more meaning in prayer. If you're not still there, it's 387. We may not know it completely by memory, but let's make it a point the best we can to, just close our eyes and make it our own. Make it our commitment to draw nearer to God. 387.
Oh, nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee, e'en though it be a cross that raiseth me, still all my song shall be. Though life light are gone, darkness be over me, my rest a stone. Yet in my dreams I'd be nearer, my God, to thee, nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee. There let the way appear, steps up to heaven, all that thou sendest me in mercy give. Angels to beckon me nearer, my God, to thee, nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee. Then with my waking thought, bright with thy praise, out jump my stony griefs, bed all I'll raise. So by my woes to be nearer, my God, to thee, nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee. Or if on joyful wing, cleaving the sky, caught up to meet my King, swiftly I fly, still all my song shall be nearer, my God, to thee, nearer, my God, to thee.